Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of 1 Samuel. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Willing, we will finish 1 Samuel tonight. We'll look at chapter 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30, and 31. So you know that I won't be able to labor that long on any particular chapter. I want to just kind of give you an overview. And so tonight we're going to look at lessons in contrast, because as you come to the end of the book, we've been looking at David, and tonight we're going to look at David and Saul. We're going to go back and forth, and you're going to look at David and Saul, and you're going to see why David was truly a man after God's own heart. Tonight, when we look at chapter 26, we see a lesson in contrast between love and hate. Love and hate. Now, when we start 26, you'll notice that David again goes to the wilderness of Ziph. He goes to the wilderness of Ziph. Now, David had went to the wilderness of Ziph early on, didn't he? Back over in chapter, 23? And the Ziphonites, they went and told Saul that David was in the wilderness. Do you remember that? And they just about caught David. Saul took 3,000 men, and he just about had David, and then all of a sudden, when he was getting ready to catch David, he got the report that the Philistines was attacking Israel. So he had to run back and put down that attack of the Philistines. But notice, David again goes back to this wilderness of Ziph, and guess what the Ziphonites did? They done what the Ziphonites always do. They went and told it. They went and told it. They went and told Saul. Now, why do these Ziphonites keep turning David in? Think about it. When somebody is an outlaw in a society, what do the law enforcement normally do when, in order to catch that criminal? They put out a reward, don't they? And so these Ziphonites, no doubt, they're trying to get some kind of reward from Saul. And so Saul respond like he'd done the last time. Saul, what did Saul do? Verse 2, Saul arose and he went down to the wilderness of Ziph, and having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Now, think about it. David, again, is on the run, but then Saul promised David that, okay, David, you're a better man than me. I'm going to go ahead and let you go. You don't ever have to worry about me chasing after you again. Don't y'all remember? Didn't Saul tell him that? Because remember when Saul went to use the restroom and David cut off a part of his robe, remember? And Saul was in a vulnerable position. Saul realized that, man, David could have killed him. But he said, David, you're a better man than me. You don't have to. I'm so sorry, you know, for me chasing you, you know, around like this here. He says, I'm so sorry. I won't do it no more. You don't have to worry. But look how quick Saul done went back on his word. Let me ask you a question. When a person is not right with God, can you trust them? See, when a person is not right with God, you can't trust. A lot of time we get our feelings hurt and we get so heartbroken because we put our faith in people who are not right with God. If they're not right with God, it's just a matter of time for them to go back on their word. A person may be an alcoholic, and they may say, you know, I'm not going to drink no more. I'm not going to drink no more. You don't ever have to worry. You know, let's just get back together. You don't have to worry about me drinking no more. If they ain't right with God, it's just a matter of time before they go back on that word and they repeat the same thing. It's just a matter of time. And so we see that David is still on the run. Now, you think about it. How old was David? Because I don't think y'all have saw how long David been on the run, running from Saul. How old was David when he first came in contact with Saul when he fought Goliath? He was a teenager. Some people say that David was about, you know, his early teens. Others says that he was in his latter teens. I normally go with the latter teens. Let's say he was 17. David was 17 when he first started working up there for Saul. And let's say he worked up there in the temple because after he killed Goliath, remember, he began to start playing the harp, and then he eventually became the captain of the army. How old you have to be get in the army? 20 years old. So David was 20. All right. So he was working in the temple, let's say 3 years, until he got 20. Then he made him captain of the Lord's army. But that didn't last long, did it? Because they say what? Saul done killed 1,000, but David done killed 10,000. From that point on, Saul went crazy. He started throwing spears and everything at David. From that point on, David been on the run. Now, when did David become king? He became king of Hebron when he was 30. Now, you think about it. For 10 years, David done been in the wilderness. Now, think about it. He hadn't been living in an old house for 10 years. See, sometimes as we go through these lessons, we need to kind of slow down just a little bit and think about what's really happening. Now, David's been out there going from one wilderness to another wilderness, hiding in one cave to another cave. He'd been doing that for 10 years. And so tonight we're going to see he's coming to the end of this 10 years. So he's in his 10th year now. So he's been running from Saul for 10 years. All right. And so he's back out here in the wilderness. Because, see, sometime we can say, now, why come David keep going back to the same place? Well, when you are afraid and not too many people you can trust, you don't know where to run to. Your hiding places, you ain't got too many hiding places. And the last time he was over there, God protected him, didn't he? Saul had 3,000 men, but he still couldn't get him. And he got 3,000 men this time. And watch what David does. The Bible says that David, when it was told that Saul had pitched his tent there, right there in the wilderness. They done went to sleep. Notice what David did. David said, I need a volunteer to go with me into the enemy camp. Who gonna go with me into the enemy camp? Look at verse number 6. It says, then answered David and said to Abimelech, the Hittites, and to, wait a minute, let me back up. Verse number five, and David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of the host, and Saul lay in the trench. Now notice, he's laying in the trench, and the people pitched around about him. Now, think about it now. I don't want you to think this trench is like a little ditch. The trench is basically, they got the wagons, the supplies in a circle. That's the trench, okay? So David has got to go through the supply line in order to get to Saul, because Saul is in the center of the camp. So think about it. You got one big circle, which is the supply line. Then you got all the soldiers, another big circle. And then you got the soldiers that's laying around Saul. And then you got Saul. Now you think about that. So when David says, I need one person to go with me over there to see about Saul, this had to be a brave guy. Because he had to go, because Saul was in the center of the trench. He was in the center of the camp. So David was a brave guy, wasn't he? He was either a fool or he was brave. Do you know it's a thin line between faith and foolishness? It's a thin line. Now, David, him and Abishai was his nephew, and so that was Joab's brother. They went in the center of the camp. Verse 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay asleep within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. And Abner and the people lay round about him. All right, so he got his bodyguards laying up round about him. And Abishai said to David, God has delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. It won't take me two times. I'm going to hit him the first time. I'm going to bump him off. And notice it says, isn't this what the Bible says? That God done delivered your enemy into your hand. You can't find this scripture in the Bible. But do you know how people can quote stuff and make it sound like it's Bible? See, I can come to you and say, thus said the Lord, and then da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and whatever I say, that make it sound like the Bible. You see? And so David here, he resisted the temptation. This is the second time David done had to resist temptation. First time when he cut off the Saul robe, and this time Abishai said that let me bump him off for you, because you know the Bible says this, God's going to deliver the enemy into your hand. And David said, look at verse 9, what David said. And I like this. If you don't have this, highlight this. Verse 9, David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guilty? Even though Saul may be out of the will of God, he's still the Lord's anointed. Even though the preacher, let's say your preacher, your pastor, may be outside of God's will, you pray for that pastor. Don't you touch him. Touch not the Lord's anointed. All right. God knows, because see, if God pull him up, then God has got a time that he's going to snatch him down. And see, the Bible says that you always going to reap what you sow. Amen. All right. Now, let's go a little bit further. So David now takes the cur of water, or the jug of water, and he takes the staff, or the spear, and then he sneaks out the camp. And but now, how was David able to sneak in the camp, and now he's able to sneak out the camp, even though all them soldiers is all around him? Verse 12. So David took the spear and the curse of water from Saul Broster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord, underline that, was falling upon them. Isn't that something? You see how God is for you? See, if God was not for David here, he would have been a fool. See, that's what I was meaning. There's a thin line between foolishness and faith. How do you know when you've been a fool, and how do you know when you're stepping out on faith? When you're stepping out on faith, is God's word is leading you. You're stepping out really on the word of God. So you just got a hunch that God wants me to do this. You have come across a scripture, God has spoken to you in some kind of way. And so David, I believe, had a hunch from God that Saul's not going to kill me. I'm going to be able to teach Saul another lesson. And notice, he did. He went and got the jug of water, went and got the spear, and then he went back on the other side and said, "Wake up, wake up, wake up." And everybody woke up. And then he says, "Hey, who do this belong to?" It says, "Saul, is this yours? I mean, your bodyguard let me come into camp and steal this out the camp?" And notice what Saul says to David here at the end of the chapter, verse number 22. Verse 21. Then said Saul, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm." You can come home, David. I'm not going to do you no harm, my son. "For I will do you no more harm, because my soul was precious in thy sight this day. And I have played the fool." I've been a fool. "And have erred exceedingly." And David answered and said, "Behold, the king's spear. Let one of the young men come and get it." And so one of the young men came and got the spear. And so that closed out chapter 26. You can see how David loved Saul. But Saul had a hatred for David. And love always conquer hate. It always conquer hate. And so we see that David wins out because love conquers hate. All right. And we can see that Saul is on his way down. Saul is on his way down. When somebody can come and rob you like that, that's a sign that God is withdrawing his protection. Do you see that? How God is with... Now, you think about it. Oh, I wish we had time. I could put you up... I could illustrate this by putting somebody up on stage. But y'all done seen the cowboy movies, hadn't you? You done seen cowboy movies. And when a person, the king or somebody, or somebody's important, they're in the center... And everybody else, it's just like, if you can imagine, four people, north, south, east, and west, land right there by that king. It's almost like a clock. It's just like a clock. And their head is turned this way. So their feet is turned out towards the camp. Their head is laying right next to the, like if this was a body here, if I fell straight down, that way when I wake up, I'm looking straight at whoever is trying to attack this person. So just think, let's say somebody's laying here, a head here, a head here, a head here, and a head there. And David walked right on into the camp and got whatever he wanted and walked right on back out. God is withdrawing his protection. At one time, there would have been no way nobody could get close to the Lord's anointed Saul. But because Saul is not doing what God done called him to do. Now, you think about it. He's using government time and effort. running after David. And David says that here that, you know, I'm just like a little flea. I'm just like a flea on a dog. And you chasing a flea all over this country. And so Saul said, you don't have to worry about that. I ain't no chase you no more. Now, but David didn't go home. He still didn't go home. As a matter of fact, look at chapter 27. We see another contrast between light and darkness. Basically, from chapter 27 all the way to chapter 30, you'll see light and darkness. You'll see how David walked in the light, but you're going to see how Saul, things going to get darker and darker and darker for him. Now, notice what David did here. It seems like he makes another foolish mistake. Notice verse 1, chapter 27. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of where? Where, Bible class? Where did David say I need to go? To the Philistine. Wait a minute, David. I didn't hear what you said. Why going to the Philistines? Isn't that the home of the giant Goliath? You tried that once before. Didn't he try that once before? He ran over there once before when he was by himself. And when he got over there, you know, they put him in jail. And then David realized he came to himself and when they start saying, wait a minute, is this the David that killed Goliath? Wait, this can't be the David. So when everybody started looking at him, he started acting like he was crazy. Remember, he started slobbing all over his steps, started talking all crazy, and started acting crazy, scratching his face and scratching the bars and stuff. And they say, hey, get him out of here. He done went crazy. We don't need any more crazy people here over here in the Philistine area. And so, but this time, David is taking his whole army. He got 600 men, and he's going... He's going to the Philistine. Why is he going back to the Philistine? Huh?
He didn't trust Saul.
What did you say?
He didn't trust Saul.
Okay, he didn't trust Saul, but he didn't trust who? He didn't trust in God. Think about it. Whenever you don't trust God, where do you go? Whenever you don't trust God, where do you go? Whenever you don't trust God, you go where, Brother Payne? You always go back to where you come from. Hello, somebody. Once you done backslid, you don't go to some new sin most of the time. Most of the time, whenever you done backslid, you go back to a familiar sin or to a familiar surrounding when you done backslid. Hello, somebody.
Bread of life. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.